Hebrews 12, verses 25 to 27. How must we listen to these words? Hi, whose words are they?
God's.
So Hebrews 12, 25 to 27, let's pay careful attention. These are the words of God. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. His voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So we are actually in the act right now of doing what we learned from this passage as one of the things that we must do in response to the preaching of God's word, that we would not just hear it once and then never think or have anything to do with it again, but that when we read or hear God's word, we are to continue thinking upon it, reflecting upon it, turning it over in our minds, and that we must have some kind of response to it in our lives, whether it's a teaching, that we have our response by being firmly convinced of whatever it says, or whether it's some kind of instruction or command in which our response is to do with eagerness and a goodwill whatever it commands. So we considered this week in this passage three things that it shows us about good sermon hearing. First, the responsibility to hear sermons well. When the scripture says, or when anybody says, see that, what is it saying? If I said, Emmett, I'm leaving for the office. See that everyone does their school. Okay, it's a command, but I've placed special responsibility, haven't I, on Emmett to make sure that everyone does their school. This places special responsibility on whom? On each of us for ourselves. See that you do not refuse him meeks. Now, we can do it only by God's grace, only looking unto Jesus, the founder and finisher of our faith, only considering him who endured the hostility. We can do it only by the grace of God. But he gives us a special responsibility to listen well. In when we come to Mount Zion on the Lord's days, and we are gathered in the assembly, and who is speaking? Jesus is speaking, right? The ascended Christ addresses us. The book earlier said, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So similarly now it says, when you gather to this glorious Mount Zion, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. So each of us has a responsibility to listen well during sermons. And if you have a responsibility to listen well during sermons, then you have a responsibility to prepare to be someone who can listen well. If you're exhausted and irritated and have got your head full of all kinds of other things and you're physically messed up so that you can hardly give any attention to anything, you're not very well going to be able to listen, are you? You're responsible to listen well. So we saw that this is the responsibility to hear sermons well. And then we saw that there is a relationship in hearing sermons well. Does our passage say, see that you do not refuse what is spoken? No, it says something else. What's the difference? What's the difference between what it does say, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, and what it doesn't say, see that you do not refuse what is spoken?
No, you do not refuse the person who speaks.
Yes, it's talking about interaction with a person. See that you do not refuse what was spoken or refuse the commandment is really talking about an action. And these actions are things that we are to do. But that is not the emphasis, isn't it? Is it? When it says, see that you do not refuse him, yes, it is considering the action that he wants you to do, but it's talking about an interaction. An interaction between you and the Lord Jesus. That you and I, as we go to worship and as we hear preaching, we are not just acting upon what Jesus says, we are interacting with Jesus, who says it. Now, who is Jesus?
God.
He is God. In fact, you can almost use part of your catechism question this week. He is God and the Lord and our Redeemer. He is the one who loves us and gave himself for us. And he is also the creator of all things and the king over all things. And so there are many, many wonderful things in our Lord and in our relationship with him that should move us to respond well, to pay attention well during the preaching and to respond well after the preaching. So there is the responsibility to sermon hearing, there is the relationship in sermon hearing, and then there is the redemption from or of or by sermon hearing. For if they did not escape or refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Okay, the great assembly was not in heaven. At Sinai, the great assembly was the people of God gathered at Sinai. How many of those entered the promised land? How many of those who were of age at Sinai? Yeah. Two. Joshua and Caleb, right? Okay, so you had this word, this command, and then there was a shaking that occurred. During the 40 years in the wilderness, the shaking of the mountain on Sinai. Mountain of Sinai was a glimpse, a foreshadowing of the shaking out of the people of Israel in the wilderness. The removal of the ones who were not going to remain, who were not going to continue into the promised land. Now we have a great assembly that is not so much on earth. We gather with a little congregation on earth, but where is the great assembly? It is in glory. The church of the firstborn, the souls of the just made perfect, who are registered in heaven. Okay? So, he has done this earth and heaven thing in the passage preceding, and now he says, for if they did not escape or refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven. So he's getting us ready to enjoy the fulfillment of the promise, not of a small tract of earth in what is probably best called Palestine now, not so much the Holy Land anymore. Okay, he is preparing for us the receipt, the fulfillment of the promise, not of a small tract of land in Palestine, but a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever. And so he says, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken as of things that are made. Okay, just like you might shake at something to get it ready so that only that which you want remains in the use of it. So that's the things that are made. Now he says it indicates the removal of the things that are shaken so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That new heaven and the new earth that lasts forever and ever. And everyone who continues, everyone who makes it through that shaking. Preaching is like a shaking. We listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Some hear with soft hearts. And what is the Lord Jesus doing in them? He is working in their hearts, first to save them, to bring them to faith, and then to sanctify them, to make them holy, so that he may glorify them. And he has finished working the holiness in them. The souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. Right, so there's a shaking going on in the preaching of the word, because some people, those whom God has chosen, those whom God is saving, those whom God is sanctifying, those whom God is glorifying, he's bringing home. He's getting ready for heaven and bringing home by the preaching of the word. But there are other people who hear the preaching of the word. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. There are those who listen, and the word bounces off. Like, perhaps, I don't know, I speculate that either the possum is Swiss cheese inside, and it went off, and it died in the woods somewhere, or if the snake shot was too light to penetrate, it just, pink, bounced off of the hide of the possum. There are those who sit under preaching, and all of the shots of God's word, plink, they bounce off their heart instead of penetrating their heart. And rather than the word going in and taking hold of the heart, it bounces off. Today, when they hear God's voice, when they hear Christ's voice in the worship assembly, the word bounces off their hard hearts. He says, don't harden your hearts. Because what is happening when someone's heart is hardened under the preaching of the word?
His words are just bouncing off the heart.
His words are just bouncing off the heart. But why is that such a grief? Why is that so dangerous? What is the only thing that can bring a man to faith in Jesus Christ? God's word being used by God's Spirit as God's appointed means for bringing a man to faith in Jesus Christ. What is God's appointed means for making us wise unto salvation and for the salvation of our souls and for the sanctifying of God's people? What is God's appointed means for that? His word. And so if the heart is hardened, and if they are, as our pastor said, refusing him, then there's a shaking taking place. There are those who are being preserved and those who are being shaken off. And it is, as it were, that when the Lord's word comes to the congregation and the preaching on the Lord's days, there are those who harden their hearts. They don't receive the word. They don't receive Christ and welcome him and his word to shape their lives. They're being shaken off so that when the new heavens and the new earth comes, in which righteousness dwells, in which the glory of God fills the earth, fills the new heavens, those who have been made perfect in holiness, they will inhabit it. But the ones who have been shaken off, many of whom have been shaken off by the word of God. This means, dear children, that you must be very careful as you grow up in a pastor's family. And as you attend worship every week and as you hear faithful preaching. Because faithful preaching doesn't save everyone who hears. There's a shaking that's happening. Don't let your heart be hard to the Lord Jesus. He's not like your father. There are many flaws in your father, who for the most part in your life, at least the first part of it, is going to be the servant whom God has stand before you and preach his word. But the one who addresses you in worship is not the servant, but the master, whose servant stands as the master's mouth and declares the master's message. Be very careful of your hearts that you don't let growing up as my son or my daughter be the occasion of your hardening. Be those who are the things that cannot be shaken. And the word of God will make you to remain, to continue. But if you come and you refuse him who speaks, then you will be one of those things that are shaken off. And it will be our great grief concerning you that when we enter into everlasting joy, you would be missing from among us. Don't let that happen. Let's all go to heaven together. Let's all go to glory together. Okay, so that is the responsibility to hear sermons well. The relationship in hearing sermons well, and the redemption that comes by hearing sermons well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a brief time together as a family to review what we heard in the preaching of this portion of your word yesterday. Grant unto us that we would be considering this week how it is that we prepare ourselves for coming to listen to the preaching and conduct ourselves during the sermons, and what is our habit for reflecting upon and responding to your word. Lord, grant that we would hear sermons well, so that we would see to it that we do not refuse him who is shaking off that which will not continue, so that the unshakable things would remain. We ask it in his name, even the name of our Lord Jesus. And your children here say, Amen. Amen.